Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Thank you guys for sharing tonight. Thank you. We'll be praying about some of the things that you shared a little later. And again, we thank those who were able to fast and pray today from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And if you didn't have an opportunity to do that, we're going to pray that you either do it Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And remember, this coming Sunday is Share the Love Sunday. So we want to invite others out who may not know him and to the sanctuary. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Let's get into tonight's lesson. This is the vision to build. As always, we always want to put the vision before you and challenge you to get there before you get there. And we're continuing our series, our Acts 1-8 initiatives, into which we want to share the love on our campus, in our city, in our nation, and throughout our world. And some of you have shared some world concerns, and we'll pray as well, but for all nations need Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight we're going to share a message entitled How to Choose a Church Home. How to Choose a Church Home from Acts 2:42-47. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. 1, 2, 3.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts,
praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, I always like to recognize that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. He added daily those who were being saved.
Tonight we're going to look at, again, how to choose a church home, to which I thought as we looked at this text, that this is a great text for someone who may be looking for a church home, and it's also a great text to kind of measure our church, and if we're not there where we need to be, then pray that God will enable us to get there. But there may be some who are listening. We have over 200 downloads a day on our iTunes, and they may be wondering how to choose a church. And again, for us, we want to make sure that our church lives up to what the Word says. We're going to look at tonight, we're going to talk about the signs of a church. We're going to look at the singleness of the church. We're going to look at the sharing of the church, and we want the Christian church should show Christian signs. The Christian church should show Christian signs. We learned last Sunday that a great church is a characteristic of a growing church is a church that teaches, as the text talks about teaching, the apostles' doctrine. We learned last Sunday that characteristic of going to church not only teaches, but it's together. Togetherness is a part of that. And they literally met daily. And interestingly enough, it seemed like the more they met, the more folk got saved. That's an interesting thing. And also, they talked to the Lord. They prayed. And that was the characteristic of growing church. But now we're going to see if we as a church live up to the kind of church that people should be looking for a church home. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to look at this video. I need somebody with some good eyes and a loud voice to read what's going to come on the screen.
I do.
Any volunteers? Can you see it, Reverend?
No, I really can't.
Where? Mary, can you see it?
Is
that in the yellow? No, it's going to come up in the screen.
Well, I don't know if I see it.
It's going to move pretty quick, so you just trying to follow it, all right?
All right.
Just the words of the video. Go ahead.
What if Christians today follow Jesus like the early church? Devoted to understanding and living out Scripture. Fellowship of experiencing life together, sharing meals and communion often, praying individually and in community every day. What if our resources were actually His, making our wealth serve God instead of just us, holding our possessions with an open hand every day, living in community, giving Him praise every day? How would your life change? Think about it. Acts 42 and 46.
Amen. Thank you very much. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise.
Every day.
You know, the young folks say, every day, all right? But again, if I was looking for a church home, this would be a good place where I go and I need to see to measure the church that I would like to be a part of. And again, since we are at a church, it's a good way to kind of measure whether or not we're living up to what church should be. Okay? And the first thing that we see tonight is the signs of a church. The signs of a church. And it says that everyone were filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So God, I think if I want to be a part of a church, I want to be a part of a church where God is working. Amen?
Amen.
And in this church, God was working. They were filled with awe. Hello, somebody. And there were many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So if I'm a part of a church, I want to be a part of a church where God is alive and well. Where God is alive and well, and where God answers prayers. I want to see God at work. I want to be awed by the God that I serve. Hello, somebody. So one of the great ways to see whether you should be a part of a church is that church representative of a living and awesome God? Does its members get up and testify about the goodness of the Lord? You've heard me say many times before, people will come up with a testimony. Their testimony is from 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And I know what God did for you back then, but what has He done for you lately? Is He representation of your life of someone that is alive and someone that is well, someone that can awe you? When was the last time God blowed your mind? Hello, somebody. And that's the kind of church that I want to be involved in. I don't want to be involved in a dead church representing a dead God. I don't want to even be around a dead people. Hello, somebody. Because many Sundays, the churches open the door and there'll be dead people walking in and dead people walking out. Hello, somebody.
No life at all.
Hell yeah, no life this at all. Acts 2:22 says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by what? By miracles, wonders, and signs which God did amongst you through him, as you yourselves know. Our God is a God of miracles, wonders, and signs. So if I'm going to be a part of a church home, I want to be a part of a church where God's wonders and signs are just evident. Hello, somebody. Where God is at work in the life of our church.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. So then the question then becomes, if this is how we choose a church, okay, then we got to ask ourselves, is Bethlehem that kind of church? Hello, somebody. When was the last time you were in awe of God in the service? When was the last time you saw the wonders and the signs? When was the last time you saw the miracles, wonders, and signs? When is the question then becomes, which you need to answer tonight, what are the signs that God is alive in Bethlehem? Okay, our ability to share the love is probably one of the best ways. But the question is, are we really sharing the love? Hello, somebody. And the only way that I can see and know is Sunday. Hello, this coming Sunday. Many times, now I know, you know, you can't measure always because, you know, some people you invite and you share the love with and they won't come, okay? But many times I've seen in the past that when we did do what God tells us to do, they showed up Sunday. Hello, somebody.
The house was filled.
Fourth Sunday used to be the Sunday that was filled the most. Hello, somebody. Because we were sharing the love. And I know, I know different dynamics can make a difference in the success or fruitfulness of this. What is the greatest miracle that God can do for us? What is the greatest miracle? Don't all talk to me one time. Changing lives. I'm looking for an S word for those lives.
Souls
being saved. That is the greatest miracle. And the point, like what the Reverend says, is lives being changed because that is evidence of someone who has salvation. They don't go out and walk the same way they used to walk. As a matter of fact, you ask Paul what happened when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He would say, my whole life changed. I was heading in one direction and then I turned and I flipped and ran in the other direction. I was persecuting, literally persecuting the church. Now I'm speaking out for the church. Hello, somebody. A total life change. What's another way that we can see signs here at Bethlehem that God is alive? What is it? It's in worship.
Spirit is here and you can feel the presence.
Amen. You can feel the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, boy, sometimes here up in Bethlehem, boy, I don't know what happens. But some Sunday, I guess we all get right. We right that Sunday. And boy, the Lord just shows up and shows out. You just be in awe and be in tears up in this place because God did it. Hello, somebody. You know, I not wish, but I pray that it could be every Sunday because it's not every Sunday. Hello, somebody. I pray that it will be every Sunday because, when you come in contact with a living God and you worship. Hello, somebody. Things happen. So that is a great way to see that God is alive. But as a church, we have to grow in that area because it has to be every Sunday. As the children say, every Sunday. Every Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Hello, somebody. But that is a wonderful observation is that when we truly
worship. Boy, worship can be so sweet. I was telling somebody that. I said, boy, the worship has gotten better as time has gotten along. And we need to continue to grow in that. Amen? Any other ways, signs?
I say that the word is going forth.
The word is going forth. I think at Bethlehem, the word, I put it this way, preaching at Bethlehem is like bringing sand to the beach. Because the word has always been taught here. You can tell. I can tell when I first preached here, I said, hey, these folk have been taught. Amen. And we need to continue that, but not only do the word need to be preached, I would say, hey, we need to live the word. Hello, somebody.
There you go.
Hello, somebody. Living it out. Hello, somebody. That was a whole year theme, and not just by happening stance. Is that the word has been taught. There's little here that I can teach you that you have not already known. Hello, somebody. But that doesn't mean that you have lived it out.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. Bethlehem!
Share it with
us. And how are we going to share it?
By living it and giving it.
Living it. Hello, somebody.
Right.
Because we can't give it if we're not living it.
Right. Right.
Hello, somebody. We can't. It dilutes our message about the God that we serve if we are up in here and we are hypocrites.
Yeah, gotta be a doer.
Hello, somebody. I can remember, and when I say hypocrites, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about folk that know what to do but don't do it. Okay.
That's
a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about somebody that may be trying to live right and have stumbled and fumbled and failed. And that's totally different. Okay? So I'm not saying that we have to be a place full of perfect people, because that ain't going to ever happen. Hello, somebody. Yeah. But I am saying that we need to be progressing. Hello, somebody. We need to be growing. Hello, somebody. Anything that's not growing is what?
Dead.
Ooh, that's deep. You get some folk in the church think they already arrived and made it. Uh-huh. You dead. You think you already made it and alive? You already dead. Because I think I'm taking a poll here on a Friday night about folk who've been living for the last 40 years. And I ask the question, have you arrived? Are you perfect yet?
Not yet, Ray.
Hello, somebody.
Still
not yet. You ain't gonna ever be perfect, but you should be striving.
Yeah.
But a true sign that God is alive and well at Bethlehem is not just the word being taught, but the people living it out.
Yeah. Man.
Hello, somebody.
Man.
Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor.
Neighbor.
Are you living it out?
Are you living it out?
Because if you're not living it out, you can't give it out.
Sure.
Ain't nobody gonna want it. Ain't nobody gonna want what you have if you're not living it.
That's why they call us hypocrites.
Hello, somebody. On the streets out there. They say, boy, you don't know your deacon like I know him. Uh-oh. You don't know your preacher like I know him.
Uh-oh.
You don't know your member like I know him.
And
I tell them, I don't know, but
God knows. There you go, Rio. That's it.
That's and if they say, God's going to do some discipline. Hello, somebody.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
That's right.
But we need to be a group of sincere folk living for the Lord. Not perfect, sincere. Any other ways that we can say that at Bethlehem, the signs that God is alive at Bethlehem?
I think we're a giving church.
You're giving church, okay. How are we giving church? How you say that?
Well, the way I'd say it, I guess, give up our service.
Give up our service?
I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because, see, one thing that I found out about Bethlehem,
giving our prayers,
giving church that I know of. When a person have a need.
Right. Mm.
And if it comes to the church, it's always handled. So, people really truly give. You help them.
Amen. That's a good thing, y'all. We ought to be proud about that.
Exactly.
But y'all getting a little ahead of me on that, so I'm going to leave that alone. Any other way?
You trying to find the
Bible? Y'all getting ahead of the study now. Come on now. That's what Gail getting ahead of the Bible stuff anyway. Any other ways before we move on? We're
praying church.
Praying church.
A praying church.
That's my next one right there.
Praying church.
Praying church. Definitely. That's a good kind of a church to be, to show that we're alive. It's because if we are praying, that means that we believe that God is God.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Faithful church, because we do believe.
Amen. A faithful church, because we do believe. Amen. Let's move on before we get too ahead of ourselves, okay? The singleness of the church. And it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. All the believers were together and had everything in common. What fascinates me about this early church is they didn't just have a Sunday morning service.
Right.
They didn't just have a Wednesday service.
No.
They met together every day. Hello, somebody. They met every day. They were around one another. They were together. Hello, somebody. And it not only says that in 44, but in 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together and were glad and sincere hearts. Every day. And this is Acts 2 chapters later. Acts chapter 4, 32. It says, all the believers were what? One in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession were their own, but they shared everything they had. But we're focusing here. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They were together.
Amen.
Now, if I said we're going to meet every day, how many folks gonna be here every day?
You, Gavin Stride, when Pastor Leslie came, I think he had a ministry for just about every day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when he first came, that was lovely, and mm-hmm. everybody was into it. You
yeah.
go a month, and it's like every day. Let's combine. We don't have to have you meeting on Monday and then come back on Wednesday.
Yep.
We can do it all at the same time so that we can have time. I mean, people uh-huh. got tired. They didn't do it every day.
Every day. Wow. See?
Oh,
yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be hard to do it, but you can do it.
No.
And guess
what? The people
that's going to be here, that want to be here, will be here. They will be here. Don't. Wow. That's right. Amen. Because, Pastor, I mean, I can use this as an example. If your job told you you had to work every day, you would be there, and you
got to do it anyway.
But after, like, say a month or so go by, you're going to start talking to your boss about something. Hey, now, I'm getting tired of it, you know, every day. And, you know, Jesus, you know, I know that them disciples, I mean, those believers were exceptional for that. And it wasn't just that they were new in conversion, because yeah. when you become new in conversion, you can be there every day.
Yeah,
you
won't have
time. Yeah. You won't have that excuse. But after a while, you allow excuses to come sneaking in. And then you'll start believing your own excuses.
Well,
and it's not true.
Hmm.
We can make excuse for everything.
Yeah. One thing I see about this was not a programmed every day.
Nope.
You know, the preacher didn't come up with a plan. We're going to meet every day.
Nope.
This just happened.
That's what.
Hello, son. Spontaneous, simultaneous, It happened. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Wow. That's why they could be together, because they had everything in common.
Right. Everybody's
fired. Hello, somebody.
Look where everybody's fired.
The King James Version of 30, verse 32 says,
what it say?
Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Mm-hmm. So they had, they were with Jesus, and they had seen him, and so they had a whole different outlook and aspect of this gospel and Christianity than we have today, although we have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But they had him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well,
we have the spiritual experience.
We have the spiritual experience.
That's what we do have. Mm-hmm. That was the main moral of what he
was.
Holy Spirit was on the inside of them. Amen.
Right.
So, the question is, let me mention about everything in common, because you'll miss it. Everything in common. That's why we can't be together every day, because we don't have everything in common.
Right.
Some of us got to take on Thursday. Our kids got to go tell somebody play basketball.
All right.
On Friday they got to play football. You know, Saturday we got a football season coming along. It's soda time.
Didn't have all that back then.
This
world is evolving, you know.
They didn't have cars to have.
Right,
to
they didn't have cars.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute now. Are you trying to tell me the car that God blessed me with is taking me away from the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. Now you got to say this. Okay, so
we don't bring it all together.
Okay, so what I mean is praying then is, Lord, take their car away, take their house away, so we can come together.
Lord, give them that kind of experience. I want to be there. Have everything.
Amen.
Work it out, Lord.
Well, when it says that they were together and had everything in common, they all were in the same situations together.
Yeah.
And we
had a mindset.
Come together, huh?
Yeah.
So they had a mindset of wanting to be together.
Right. They had they were all their situations was common.
Yeah.
They were being persecuted the same. Mm-hmm. And they all had seen Jesus for themselves, had watched and seen his miracles.
All of the apostles had seen the Jesus. Not every believer there had seen Jesus.
But in this text, they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
So, but let me put it this way. The last time I think that it was like this in our culture was Grandmama Nam. Grandmama Nam.
Yeah.
Because they had everything in common.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah,
it was a different time.
Yeah.
It's like some of you, for your work, they got you going all over the nation. Grandmama Nam didn't get do that.
Same right in the neighborhoods with each other.
They had everything in common. They had the community was in common. I mean, everything was in common. So it is a bit more complicated complex, but the idea is that we should want to be together.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. If you're not here, you should be missing it. Yeah. So let's ask this question then. Is Bethlehem a church that has all things in common? Is Bethlehem a church of one?
I think we're a church of one in Christ, but we don't have all things in common.
We don't have all things in common because it's complicated. This man lives in, where you live?
Davis.
And I live in Paul.
She live in Winwood.
Help, please, girl. Man, you start saying where
these
people work.
Yes.
Johnson, where did you work today? Where did you go?
In the office.
Wait a minute. I thought you were working for all that.
I'm office in Paul's.
Okay, but it means you could be anywhere, basically. Now, so you know that's the complication of our time. Okay, but
we have tools,
huh?
We do have tools despite the complication.
Woo-hoo! Talk to us a little bit about the tools.
The first lady got one in there.
They said, "Hey, if we're not here, at least you can text, you can FaceTime, you can do something. Exactly. Hello, somebody."
I FaceTime with gentlemen all the time, like my individuals at any point. I can FaceTime with one right now, and we can have a conversation. We're something in common right now.
If we have all things in common, we're not gonna take. We're not gonna make any excuses. Now we realize some of the challenges, but just because you're not here don't mean you can't call a brother. You can't call a sister. What we doing on Wednesday night?
Well, you can probably stream and just stop what we're doing at 6 o'clock.
Stream.
You know, we can just stream.
We can still come together in the complicated times. Amen? Amen.
Church that Sunday morning, unless they streamed it. They fellowshiped with Concord, and they was like, oh, you love it here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
So that's something for us to think of. That knows somebody, isn't it?
Yes.
Because when you home, you know, my church, I never miss my church home. I never miss. Like you said, I stream. I do something to stay in contact. So even if I'm gone, I'm there. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And you can do that with us. We're not as sophisticated, but. You know, you can listen to the message from Sunday on Monday. You can, you know, and Wednesday on Thursday. You can do all that, some of that stuff, but not as complicated.
That's a valuable resource. You do all the time.
So
it's
no excuse here.
So it's no excuse. We need to be on one accord. So when we're not here, we need to be thinking out here. Hello, somebody. And we need to be one. Hello, somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to this last point. Okay. First thing, if you're going to choose a church, see the signs, okay? The second thing, you want to choose a church, you want to see whether your church is healthy, the singleness of purpose, of being one, coming together. And as we said today, not just not in the meeting, but you can meet other places, amen, through technology. Don't miss, amen?
Amen.
But lastly, but not least, and why I said y'all getting ahead of the lesson, the sharing of the church. In verse 45, it says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Wow. Now, I know we are a giving church. But has anyone else sold some land and gave it to the church and said, hey, this is for the need of anybody who have needs?
No.
Have we done that? So, which means we probably couldn't grow up. We probably couldn't grow up. Now, here's something that I found very intriguing. On Sunday mornings, some of these churches that are growing, they pass the plate. They pass the plate. Pass the plate. And they make it known from the pulpit that if you have needs, instead of putting money in the plate, you can take what you need out of the plate. Wow!
Do you have
churches that do that in the city? Churches that do that. That if a member has a need and they don't have any to give, they can take it out. Huh. That's something. Wow! Wow! And that church is growing. It's growing. Growing. Wait a minute. But if you talk to the leaders of the church, they're not in crisis. They raise more money than people take out of the plate. So it might be something to that.
You gotta give what you
it's always something.
It may be something to that.
Because Pastor, I can say this. I was a part of a church that I watched some people that did. They gave land.
It's part of a church. Gave land?
Yeah. Gave land?
Wow.
Gave big, big chunks of money.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was a part of it. I think we gave, you know, several things.
I gave some land?
No, we didn't have land. We didn't have no land either, but we gave what was needed.
Yeah.
At the church, and we went out and purchased it.
Wow.
And brought it to the church.
Amen.
And a lot of them with this is what was going on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say, you know, when it comes to building a new edifice or building some facilities for us to have accommodate our elderly and stuff, I truly believe that this is something that Bethlehem have to wake up and smell the coffee.
That's right.
Because I saw it with my own eyes. I was a witness to it. I was at the church one day working, and a lady pulled up at the church and wanted to know where was Deacon Watts. And I said, ma'am, I'm him. And she said, she looked at me first because I guess I might have looked too young to be a deacon. Anyway, I said, I'm him. And we talked for a while, and she talked about some things, and then she said, I'm not going to hold you up, and, you know, from work and stuff. And she left. Well, 30 minutes to an hour, she come back. Mm-hmm. And when she came back with a big old check.
Wow.
And put it in my hand.
Hmm.
Yeah, we can't get it done, right?
Said, I want to be a part of what y'all do.
People would do it. Right. See you.
We did it not signed.
It blow my mind. Because I know it can be done. It's nothing to be holding that up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we got enough people in this church that
sing a song at Tithing that says you can't beat
God's giving no matter how hard you try.
If you're really doing it for the Lord, you will not do it. And then it'll open up the window.
Man, Reverend Rush, you have
to have a mindset. We got to have a different mindset. See, some people don't understand that it's not that you're giving to God, because
right.
God has already gave it to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And the fact is this, that you don't understand that what you give to God and to His kingdom and His services,
it's gonna come back.
Believe it, it's true.
Amen.
And if it don't come back, don't go looking for materialistic things, but because sometimes you're spiritual in a way that will blow your mind.
Amen.
And that's what I feel like.
Yes.
That he did a lot of times with me instead of just money. But he will give those who need it what they need.
Amen.
Every time.
Praise the Lord. Reverend, what were you gonna share?
Yeah, we building out here at Mount Zion. We had a lady to give from out of state. She's from Kansas, and heard we was building the church.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, before we even built the church, the guy that did it came from a little town out here, and he moved, and the Lord told him where to go, and when he passed by there, stopped, and the Lord said, it's the place. And he said, you know, I'm a redneck cowboy, Lord, we're going in this little black church. But that was the place, and the resources came.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, people just started giving. We didn't even know who they were.
Hmm.
I think one time we got $5,000 from Kansas, a little old lady.
Hmm.
She wanted to remain anonymous.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it worked, you know. I mean, God to do it.
Amen.
I got one thing to say about that whole situation I didn't get to say before. But this was a key that I saw at this church. Was that first of all, when it was issued out that instead of remodeling that we're just going to build a church, there wasn't no everybody had faith. They believed.
Everybody was together on one accord.
They believed that it could do. Well, they didn't worry about what the debt was going to be. And they stepped out and started walking on faith. And the next thing we know, we had a dispersive anonymous to this day, there's only two or three of us that know who this person is, but they came and said, look, he wanted to meet with the pastor and said, at first they was going to donate $40,000 to the church. Mm-hmm. But when we had started the building and everything and had the plans and everything was working out, the person, pastor, went down to his house, and I didn't even know who he was. And he went to his house, but that's what I'm saying. We didn't worry about how we was going to pay for this at the time. We knew God could do what he could do. Mm-hmm. And this man, when pastor stopped by my house that evening, we shouted and we cried and all, because this man said, how much is it going to cost y'all? And pastor told him, and he said, told his wife, baby, we can do that, can't we? And instead of them donating $40,000, they bought the whole thing.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
And this guy that built the church out there.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes God just wants us to step out.
Yeah, right.
This guy was a builder.
Out of faith, and he'll move in mighty ways that we can't understand.
Yeah.
But it'll be to his glory. Because can't none of us take no credit.
Right.
Man. And he said one thing that was key, though, and Sister Jay mentioned that, is that they won't want a court.
Yeah, we all believe it.
Can we say as a church, and regardless to building that building, that we're on one accord?
No.
God will do one.
I tell you what, though, man. You got to build this church out here. That's all they ever did was build buildings and barns. And I talked to him. He said, when we got ready, he'll come and contract this. He's ready to do it anytime we get ready.
But, again, we got to be all one accord.
And see, and all we was asked to give was $10 a month.
$10 a month.
And that was what we were going to build the church on.
$10 a month.
And nobody did not say a word. They put that $10 in there every Sunday.
Now, what did we say at Bethlehem?
$30 a day.
Have we been doing that?
Yes, ma'am.
I have.
Some have, but has everybody been done?
No.
Which
been
means
done.
We're not on one accord.
Could have been done.
Not on one accord.
And I'm going to tell you something that was significant at Bethlehem that I saw. And I'm not saying that I'm trying to, I don't want nobody, but see, sister and brother and sister Leo of Watkins, remember when we was talking about the $30, they said, we can't afford $30, but we'll give this. We'll give this amount. They said $15 or something like that. And I mean, it was there, 15 apiece. They gave 30. And it was there every Sunday, clockwork. Well, if they could not come to this church, they were standing in that door waiting on Bruce or me or pastor or somebody to come up. So they come in here. Boom. And it came right here. Every single Sunday, every single month. And see, that's all God wants us to do is set your hearts.
Amen.
If it's 10 you can give a month, you agree to that 10 and stay
there. Do it.
If it's 20 or 15, you do that. Mm. He's not asking for us to just go all out and do whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't. Really? Everybody can't be like maybe a Bill, because Bill, he gives more. Mm-hmm. But if you can, it wouldn't hurt every now and then.
Amen.
But see, that shows that you have a faith.
Faith.
That mustard seed faith is just a little bit of faith. And that's all God is looking for in us, is to. And he can do wonders.
Amen.
If you agree to the be faithful in whatever little part
of the thing. Yeah. And look here, these guys, they gave sacrificially.
Right.
See, many times, you know, we say we don't have it, but we have land, we have cars, we have other stuff. But these guys, they sold property. Hello, somebody. And possessions to give to those that were in need. Acts chapter 4, 34. And there were what? No needy person among them. For what? From time to time, those who what? Own land and houses sold them and brought the money from the city.
They laid it, and they laid it at the apostles' feet.
Amen. So it sounds like we need. We know what we need to do. I wish everybody could have been here tonight to hear this discussion. but we know it seems like God is ready, but we got to get on one accord. One of the ways we can be on one accord again is that everybody give what they can.
That's right.
Hello, somebody. And believe by faith and have, you know, have that in common. Because, you know, people be talking against it.
Right. They do.
So we have to come on one accord. We're gonna do this, and then we're gonna go to prayer. If Bethlehem is sharing church, does Bethlehem give to those who are in need? And we said that a little earlier. That's why I said we got ahead of ourselves. But what we see from tonight's discussion is that we can do better.
Amen.
We can do better. The first thing that we can do is to come up one accord and to get behind the vision that God has us and to be one when it comes to that building. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
And come on accord, because, you know, I've heard so many testimonies about people that do want to give, but they want to see something first. Hello, somebody. They want to see that we're serious about what God has called us to do. And really, that's what God is about anyway. He wants to see faith. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says the only way you can limit God is not believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. A God that says that with me all things are possible. When you don't have faith, ain't nothing possible. Tell somebody.
Wow.
That's deep, isn't it?
Wow.
If you don't have faith, nothing is possible with him. So you accomplish nothing. You'll get nothing now. You accomplish nothing. You won't see the wonders. You won't see the signs. You won't get the ah, because you don't believe in the God that you serve. But one day, we're going to all get on one accord. Hello,
somebody.
Amen. Amen.
And we're going to all start believing at the same time. Hello, somebody. And then God's going to take off, and we're going to have to try to keep up with it. Hello, somebody. So we can do more. Now, we are giving church. We gave to the prison that which was needed. This new thing that Susan is leading up, she's got a few checks. She's waiting on more, either in giving.
Relay
for life, definitely every year. And like somebody else shared, whenever there's a need, people say, hey, Bethlehem gives. To the tornado victims, we raised some of the highest funds that were given within our district. But we still can do better.
Amen.
God still wants more of us. Hello, somebody. He wants us to exercise that giving muscle. Hello, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
And so we want to thank you for participating tonight. And we pray that in areas that we measure up, And if we don't, we pray that God will enable us to pray our way up, that we can be a church of signs and wonders. God said, you ain't seen nothing yet compared with the building. You hadn't seen anything yet. I want to awe you. I want to show you the signs and wonders, but you got to believe. And we have to togetherness become singleness of heart and mind. And if we're not here, we need to call somebody, make sure that we know what's going on. Stay on one accord. Listen to the message. You're not here. Listen to them. You got it online. Listen to it online. Smartphones. You can listen to the message online. Yeah, stay a part of us collectively. Amen.
Amen.
Stay connected. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And also sharing and giving. We need to give more. To give more to the cause. Maybe even give sacrificially to building the building. I said in the meeting, one of the ways I believe that God is going to really move on our behalf is when we decide, and it can't be something to push, but when we decide just to give, all of us just decide to give, then we can accomplish, I believe, what God wants us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to our knees in prayer. I want to thank you for participating in tonight's discussion. I'm going to start us out in prayer and then give us a moment to intercede, and then we'll close together. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just want to thank you and praise you, Father, for tonight's lesson,
yes,
Father. And, it's just wonderful to see how awesome a church can be, Father.
Thank you.
It's wonderful, Father, to be a part of a church where we can see you work and we can see you move, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It's wonderful, Father, to where we come to worship on a Sunday morning and have an awesome worship experience.
Yes,
yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, in the text it said they had awe and they saw the signs and they saw the wonders. And Father, we pray, Lord, that as a church, Father, that you will continue to honor us as a church. Show us the signs and wonders as a church, Lord. We're asking, yes, Father, Lord, that the greatest sign, Lord, as we're fasting and praying today, yes, for us, yes, that you add believers to our body, Father. That's the, yes, greatest sign that we want to see, the greatest, yes, miracles we want to see, Father. This next coming Sunday, we pray, Lord, for those that are in this box, our 10 most wanted. We pray, Lord, that you convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, Father, that they may be saved, and that they may come through those doors saying, what must I do to be saved, Father? And we're praying, Father, that we don't want you to add members to the church, Father. We want you to add believers, Father. We want you to add disciples, Father. We want you to add folk that's come in contact with you, and they're changing and they're being sanctified. Father, we pray, Lord, that we won't be a church of the living dead, but we'll be a church of the living for the Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, that we may be able to live it, Father, before we give it, Father. And Father, we're fasting and praying for this Sunday, Father. Pray, Father, for revival in this place, in Jesus' name, Father. And we believe by faith, Lord, as we said, that the Bethlehem is a praying church. We believe by faith, Lord, that Bethlehem is a praying church. Bethlehem believes that you are living God, Father, that we believe that you are God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or can imagine, Father. We believe, Father, that you are God of all, God of wonders, and God of signs. Oh, Lord, we're not just talking about Old Testament signs, Old Testament wonders, and not just New Testament, Father, but the right now wonders, Father, in Jesus' name. In 2014, Father, on August 20, Father, you're able to show yourself alive and well. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you show yourself awesome. Show us your wonders. Show your signs in this place. The folk that come to this place may know, Father, that you are alive and that you are well, that you're still that same God that I am, Father. That God that Moses said, whom should I say sent me? And you said, just tell him I am that I am, Father. And Lord, that I am meant that you are going to be everything that Moses needed to liberate the people. You are going to be all power, Father, in Jesus' name. And we're asking that same God that I am to manifest yourself right here and right now, Father, in Jesus' name. We need you, Father. We heard, Lord, about some of the concerns that are going on in the world, Father. We pray, Father, that you touch right now. We speak peace to Ferguson in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, and we pray, Lord, about what's going on in the Middle East in Jesus' name, that you manifest yourself, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that, oh, Lord, didn't have such a great day or such a great week, Father. We pray, Lord, that you touch him right now, Father, in Jesus' name, that you loose their anxiety, Father, that they may leave here with peace, in Jesus' name. We believe by faith that we will not leave here the same, because, Lord, we've come in contact with the living God, and as a result, some stuff has changed in our hearts, some stuff has changed in our minds, some stuff has changed in our souls, some stuff has changed in our faith, Father. Somebody came tonight and didn't have a mustard seed of faith, but right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, you give them that mustard seed of faith.
faith that they may leave here tonight speaking to the mountains and say, mountains, be moved in Jesus' name. Father, take every concern from every heart, from every mind, from every soul, from every bowed down head, from every knee that is bowed. Father, we pray, Lord, that your heavenly dispatch your angels right now, Father, the same way, Lord, you went before Cyrus. We pray, Lord, that you go before them and make the rough places smooth. Shatter the doors of brass. Cut through the iron bars and give them the treasures hidden in secret places that they may know tonight that it is you who called them by name, Father, in Jesus' name. Your word says that you have every hair on our head numbered, Father. Your word tells us to take a look at the birds in the air and the lilies in the valleys. And you tell us, Lord, to be anxious for nothing, Lord, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And all this stuff that we're worried about, all this stuff that we're concerned about, will be added unto us. And Father, we pray, Lord, you do some adding. Because we sought you first. We decided to come and to be together on a Wednesday night, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We're fasting and praying as a church. Believing, Father, that you're going to do something awesome this Sunday, Father. In Jesus' name. Right now, we're going to pause for you to intercede on behalf of yourselves. And then I will close us in prayer. I want to thank you for listening today. And we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart. And the C of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. You pray a prayer of salvation. We want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, we want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. I want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.